It's nice, nice homey feeling. Very exclusive group. I only became aware of this only a few hours ago. So try to put a few things together. We find in this past week's parasha that the pasuk says that Klal Yisrael attempted to travel from the Midbar through the Edomite, Edom's territory. And Edom told them, absolutely not. If you come into our territory, then we'll come out to war. Moshe Rabbeinu sent a message, listen, we're not going to drink anything, we're not going to take anything from you, you'll be fine, we're just going to we'll just go in a king's way, we'll just pass through the town and won't do anything. But Edom refused. Not only that, but they said, if you come, we'll go out to war. And they didn't just stop by making threats. They actually gathered up the armies at the border and they showed a with their might, they were going to destroy Klal Yisrael if they attempt to pass through. And the Rosh Hashem says, okay, just, you know, let them be. Their land, we're not going to conquer anyways. They want to be obnoxious like that. You know, Shatia, what did I say in Hebrew? Like, Shatia, I don't know, my kids like to say, Shatia kacha. It's an Israeli saying that says, oh, you want to be like that? To be like that, you know, like I care. Akoponim, that's Edom. That's in the kasha, is Siddur kasha. In Pashas Kiseitze, the Pasuk says that Amon and Moav are not allowed to, we are never allowed to take a ger from Amon Amoyev. Amon Amoyev were two nations that came out of Loit, who was Avram Avinu's nephew, and the Klal Yisrael says that you cannot take not one male descendant, no matter if it's 10, 20, 30 generations, they, no matter how much they want to become a ger, want to become a Jew, you cannot accept them into the Jewish nation. Why not? So the Pasuk says, these two things the Pasuk says. First of all, when you left Mitzrayim and you walked by Amon Amoyev, they did not come out to you with water and bread. They should have been very nice and hospitable and came to offer you water and bread. Since they didn't offer you water and bread, they weren't nice like that, they can never become Jewish. Also, that Moav went ahead and hired Bilam to go and curse Klal Yisrael. He found out, we'll talk about it a little bit soon. He tried to undermine Klal Yisrael, to ruin their power. And because of those two things, they cannot become into the Jewish nation. So the kasha is, we find that Edom refused to allow Klal Yisrael to pass by, not to have water or bread, just to pass by the nation. And what happens to Edom? Nothing. Amon and Moav, they did not come out with bread and water to serve the Klal Yisrael. They lose their rights to ever becoming part of the Jewish nation. The question is, what's the contrast? The Teretz is, that the Ramban on this Pasuk in Pashas Kiseitze, he's bothered by what was the severity of the Aveira. What was the Aveira that they didn't come out to offer them water and bread? And he says, Vanir Eli, Ki Akosav Hirkek Shne... What does he say? He says that Amon Amoyev, if you go back in history, about 250, probably 300 years beforehand, Amon Amoyev came from who? From Lot's daughters. What happened with Lot? Lot twice in his life almost got destroyed. Once in, well, both in Stein. Once when he got captured by the Malachim, and Avram Avinu risked his life to save him. And the second time was when Sadaim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Malachim to turn over Sadaim, what happened? He also sent another Malach to bring Lot out. In whose schus? In Avram Avinu's schus. Lot came out with his wife and two daughters. His wife turned into salt, and his two daughters got him drunk. They had relations with him, and out came Amon and Moav. Says the Ramban, Amon and Moav owe their existence to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was Klal Yisrael's great-grandfather. Since they owe their existence to Avram Avinu, who is Klal Yisrael's great-grandfather, they should have came out to do chesed. They should have been looking to do chesed with Klal Yisrael out of recognition that Avram Avinu did chesed to them. So they should have been looking to do chesed back. since they didn't do chesed back, memela, they cannot become into the Jewish nation. Says Rabbi Yochanan, what's the Torah telling us over here? The Torah is telling us like this. You have an amoinu moyav, person from Amin and Moyav, who is became, he recognized that there's a Rebbeinu Shalom on the world. And he wants to go accept upon himself Torah mitzvahs. He comes to Beis Din, right? He walks into Beis Din and he says, okay, I want to become Jewish. Beis Din says, listen here, you do not want to become Jewish. So why don't you become Jewish? Why don't you want to become Jewish? They said because you ever grew up in a Jewish home? You know, you ever experienced a Jewish mother with all her anxieties and stuff? So I don't have a problem. I have a Goyish mother. Oh, that's true. That's okay. So you could become Jewish, but the problem is, do you know what a responsibility it is to be a Jew? Shabbos, and if you don't do Shabbos, you get skila. It's major responsibilities. Get out of here. They send him away. He comes back again, a second time, a third time. They see this guy is a really frum guy. He really wants to become Jewish. You know, today is a big politics, especially in Eretz Yisrael, about many years ago, we started, what's a Jew? Who's a Jew? You know, like, who'd accept as a ger? You know, there was about a million Russians that came in, a lot of them were goyim, and they said, no, do you like Jews? You're really happy about the Jewish state? Sure, okay, so then you're Jewish. And they gave them a certificate that they're Jewish, and it's a big, I don't exactly know all the details, but it's a big hack on accepting Gerim and dinim about Geris and this and that. But let's say this Aaron Amayv really wants to do a proper Geris. So he comes back a fifth, sixth time, they finally say, oh, this guy's really serious. And then they start looking at his history, and they see that his great, 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 great grandfather, like, hundreds of years ago, comes from a certain tribe that's eventually from Amin Amoyev. Say, listen, sorry, you cannot become Jewish. He says, why not? He says, because your great great grandfather's Amoyev. He says, what? That's ridiculous. You should know. People sometimes claim that Judaism is a racist, elitist religion. Why? Because we think we're the chosen nation and everything is lowly, and the truth is quite the opposite. We are the most non-racist people. Why? Because we accept anybody who wants to actually convert. You have to be willing to take the responsibility of being Jewish. It's not such an easy responsibility, right? As Bachem can tell you today, they're kvetching that it's the summer, and you know what people do in the summer, and what do I got to do? I'm all cooped up in a Beis Medrash where all I see is wood and chairs, and as much as I learn, it's not enough, and I don't know it enough, and it's not easy to be Jewish. But as long as you're willing to accept the responsibility, anybody, if you're Chinese, black, other things are not okay, but that's because it doesn't fit with the religion. But anyone who's willing to become a true Yid is accepted. It's non-racist. Except Amin Amoyev. That means we tell this guy, your great-great-grandfather was from Amin Amoyev, you're not accepted. What's the pshat? Says our brother Rapian, that this tells us that as much frum as you can become, as much frum as you're going to want to be, if you're missing one ingredient, which is if you're missing the ability to be able to be makar toif, which means you're able to recognize good that somebody else does, or you're unable to recognize the good and appreciate the good that somebody else does for you, you cannot become Jewish. You are missing a vital ingredient of being a Yid. The X factor about being a Jewish is being able to recognize the toiva that you've been bestowed with and be looking to pay it back, to be goyim al chesed back. So Amin Amoyav, since they were not willing to recognize the chesedim that was given to them and looking to pay it back, they become unable to become a Yid. Not only that, just as a side point, maybe we get back to maybe an Iker point, this midah is hereditary, which means the Torah is telling us that if since their great-grandfather was not capable or did not use Balak, who was the Melech HaMoyav then, Mistam was Balak, the Baal HaTurim says it was Balak who controlled, who told the Moavites not to offer Lechem and Mayim to Klal Yisrael. Since he was not able to be grateful, then we say his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, great-grandchildren will have this midah that will be unacceptable to Klal Yisrael. So not only is this midah so vital to be Jewish, but it has an impact on generations to come. So now we understand already what the difference between Edom is and Amin Amoyev. Edom, they didn't owe us any Akaras HaTayv. Their existence was not at a, they were not at a vulnerable state that the Yidden saved them from anything. So Memela, they didn't owe any Akaras HaTayv to Klal Yisrael. Memela, the fact that they were jerks and they didn't let Klal Yisrael to go through their land doesn't mean that they can't become Jewish. They could have a great grandson that decides, you know what, I want to become a Yid. That's Beseder. But Amin and Moyav, they owe their existence. They had to be recognized that they were only about Aydeg Chesed. They did not. Because of that, excommunicates that they're unable to become Yidden. So now Shaila. Shaila is, what do we expect? Why do we expect so much from Balak? I mean, how long ago did Avraham Avinu save Lot from getting killed? How many years before this? 10 years? 20 years? Anyone have a count? We have an accountant in the room? You know how many years ago it was? It was definitely more than 210 years ago. Because it was, what?
It was before Yitzchak was born.
It was over 400 years ago. So, over 400 years before this incident happened, where Klal Yisrael was passing by, that's when Avraham Avinu saved Lot. So you expect Balak to still be willing, looking, like Klal Yisrael passes by, and he's supposed to remember back 400 years ago that these people's great-grandfather saved my great-grandfather, and I should be looking to pay back the chesed. It sounds ridiculous. I mean, would we be holding there? I wouldn't. What do we expect from Balak? Why do we hold Balak to such a standard? And I think the Teretz is like this. This week's parsha starts off that Balak sees what's going on with Klal Yisrael. They're beginning to destroy, and he gets scared. His security is at stake. He becomes nervous. So what does he do? He goes to Ziknei Midyan. Vayomer Moav el Ziknei Midyan, atu yilach hakol et kol tzivos. Then he goes to the elders of Midyan. And Rashi points out an unbelievable thing. He says, Midyan, the Pasuk says that Midyan waged war on Moav. So we know that they were enemies. So Midyan is fighting with Moav. All of a sudden, Moav goes and is counseling with Midyan. He says, listen guys, we got to get together, the Klal Yisrael, what's going on over here? Says Rashi, what happened? So he said that Moav, Balak was a chacham. Balak saw that Klal Yisrael has tremendous powers. They're destroying Sichon, and they're destroying empires. He says, how did they get such power? So he says, let's look at their leader. Right? Who's their leader? Who's managing to have such an impact? And then Moshe Rabbeinu. And he looks into Moshe's history. What's Moshe's background? Where did Moshe come from? And he finds out, right before returning to Egypt to lead the Klal Yisrael, to galvanize the Jews and bring them out of slavery, where was he? In Midyan. So he goes to Midyan, and he starts, you know, making nice with them. Why? Because he wants to find out, they know Midyan. They know Moshe. They know Moshe before he was a leader. What was going on? What's his power that he has that he's able to galvanize the people? And Midyan says, this man has a power with his mouth. He's able to concretize through his mouth things, spiritual concepts. He's able to bring down things through his mouth, spiritual ideas through his mouth, and that's how he's able to lead Klal Yisrael. Oh! Says Balak, it's through his mouth. That's where his whole power is coming from. So I'll go and hire who? Bilam. Who Bilam's also kayak like that. He's able to have Nevuas and bring down Nevuas. And he also has a kayak with Peh. And this is how we are going to destroy Klal Yisrael. So here you see Balak. What does he do? How does he figure out? How does he go ahead and find Bilam? He thinks. What's he thinking? He's thinking, he sees something in front of him. He sees Klal Yisrael fighting, winning things. But he doesn't say, oh, everybody else looked at it and said, oh, wow, that's scary. Oh, we better, you know, be nice to them. Balak went and looked behind it. He looked behind. He says, what's the power that Klal Yisrael has behind him? And he came to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he looked, what was behind Moshe Rabbeinu? That's a special chachma that Balak had. That's what the pasuk says, Vayar Balak ben Tzipor. What, Balak's the only one who saw? The seeing, right? Balak didn't see what was in front of him. Balak saw behind it. He saw how this came about. He saw how did the Klal Yisrael come together? Moshe Rabbeinu, the Midyan. It doesn't come from nowhere. Nothing comes from nowhere. He had that understanding that nothing comes from nowhere. Aybazoi says the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we see that when Balak comes to curse Klal Yisrael, he's able to think where something comes from. Listen, it's a little bit of a twist, a little thinking. No, it's the end of the day, but when it comes to trying to figure out to how to get Klal Yisrael, that he's able to think. Oh, it comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. It comes from Midyan. But when it came to giving this Klal Yisrael some bread and water where they were hungry in the Midbar, that you didn't think where they come from. They're traveling by you and they're hungry and they need some water and bread. So you say, nah, I don't want to trouble myself. Then, well, why don't you think then? Where does Klal Yisrael come from? Oh, they come from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu saved your grandfather. Right? How are you around? It should have dawned on you. You dawned on you when you saw them coming to fight you. Then you already had all the cheshbonos. When you're scared and when you're threatened, then you have all the cheshbonos and you figure out everything. But when they're passing by, you want to do them a little taiva, then you're already like all scared. I remember, just reminded me last night, a week and a half ago, a neighbor of mine called my wife to if we could collect in my building for a family in the neighborhood that's making a chassid and needs money. And my wife volunteered my services. Now, I'm a self-respecting guy. I'm not a schnorrer. I don't go asking people for money, especially my neighbors. You know, like I feel it's a very scary thing for me. I don't like to make people uncomfortable. I smile. My neighbors think I'm like the nicest guy. I don't like to be bothered. I'm not the nicest guy. But if you smile at them, you say, shalom, manishma, they think that he's like, you know, especially in Eretz Yisrael, that nobody smiles at nobody. I mean, you know, I don't know nobody, but it's not like an accepted thing. They think, wow, such a nice family, this and that. I said, you just smile at the neighbors and you think that they'll think you're, you know. So I don't want to snarf for anybody. So this is a week and a half ago. So my wife says, yeah, but there's such an Erlich family, this and that. I said, so I already start going into my mind. Yeah, does the husband work? Do you know how hard I work? Yeah, what does the husband do? She's like, well, she's not be a cheshbonis. They're a good family. They're not wasting. You know, they're not. You know, they're not buying your Danishes where you buy in your stores. And it's a worthy cause. Trust me, you can do it. So I didn't have much choice. I agreed. That doesn't mean I did it. So it was a week and a half ago. That half a week went by. The last week went by. And the chasana is tomorrow night. So I forgot when it was. One night, I my wife said, so maybe you want to go around collecting. I said, no, it's not such a good time because people are supper time, this and that. So I'll do Matzoi Shabbos. Then Matzoi Shabbos came, and my wife's like, so you and collecting? And I said, yeah, I thought about it, but Lamaisa, people are still Shabbos-ing, so they don't have any money on them. Then I realized, Moish, you are a petrified little boy. You're scared of asking people and making people uncomfortable because you're uncomfortable. That's why you don't want to do this. And due to the fact that the chas is Monday night, and my wife's going to be embarrassed to call this lady and say my husband didn't do it. So all those factors together say, you know what, I'm going to be a man and go around to collect, expecting nothing. But my sister, just for the island that you know, I think I collected 600 shekel. 600 shekel. People gave 50s, 100s. I was like, of course I start thinking, ah, the only giving was the pressurized, and I feel so bad to pressurize this. But why am I telling this story? Is because I'm coming up with terutzim. When I'm nervous, when I'm scared about something, I'm the biggest chacham. I have all the reasons in the world why not to do something. So Rabbi Nishalem tells Balak, when you're scared about Klal Yisrael, you come to all these reasons, you come to figure out exactly what exactly is their koyach, where it comes from, all the way back in Midian, and you go to your enemies, you figure out how to become friendly with them, and you find out the whole story. But when it comes to give someone a piece of bread and water, then you can't figure out why they have a right to get bread and water from you. They don't can't figure out that their grandfather's the one who saved you. There's a story that is brought down by Rabbi Yeruchim, that there was a Rishon that wrote a sefer called Baruch Sha'amar. Called the Baruch Sha'amar. Why do you call it Baruch Sha'amar? Because he was an orphan from both his parents. He had nobody to care for him, and Imamish had nobody. Therefore, he didn't really learn how to daven. All he knew was Baruch Sha'amar. And he would go in to Beis Medrash, to the shul, and daven every single morning, and he just davened Baruch Sha'amar. And he kept doing it day in, day in, day in, day out. And from that, it created a foundation within inside him, what he's able to eventually, when he was had opportunities, I don't know exactly how it happened, but from there he's able to talk, eventually become a Rishon, become a be able to write a Sefer, from his Baruch Sha'amar. Well, Baruch Sha'amar, I wanted to share two thoughts with that. First of all, you know, we think that we don't really understand the words of davening. So what's the point of coming into shul? What are we... So you see that if you just take a little bit of davening, one part of davening, and you come into Shul, you say, okay, the rest of davening I'm not holding by, but I'm just going to connect these two, three words, this piska of davening, you can grow, you can lay a foundation for yourself, a spiritual foundation, from that you can fly. But I wanted to bring out a different point. What's in Baruch Sha'amar? Baruch Sha'amar v'hoi oilam. I'm saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mekar HaBracha, who is the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm recognizing that He said, and from the world's created. How is this world living? How am I walking over here? Because Ribbono Shel Olam said something, and the world's here. That's the essence of a Yid, which means like this. The essence of a Yid is Yehudim. You know, before the Arabs, Shecht, Yehudim, how do they rile up the Jews? Itbach el Yahud. Itbach el Yahud. Yehudim, we're Yehudim. What's Yehudim? Yehudim is Haidah. What does Haidah mean? To give thanks? It's one of those words, those English words that kills it. Thank you. Know, when my son, I hate doing it, but I can't control myself. My son finishes Gan on Friday. I'm usually there to pick him up. So he's walking out of Gan, and the Ganan would say, okay, bye, Yaakov Meir. And he doesn't answer. He never answers. But I want him to, you know, so I say thank you. I say, Yaakov Meir, are you happy that you went to the Morris, taught you something in Gan? And he ignores me. I said, maybe you want to say thank you, you know, like shaking his hand a little bit. He totally ignores me. But thank you. What's thank you? What's Haidah? Haidah is thanks. Haidah is, you know, we call it second to last bracha in Shemoneh Esrei. It's called Haidah. What did we do in Earth? We say Moedim. What's the root of the word Haidah? Moedim. What's Moedim? Moedim means I admit. Don't say thank you. My son should walk over to the Ganan and say, I admit that you're the one who taught me about Shabbos. I recognize that I got the meaning of Shabbos from you, and walk away. That's a thank you. So I don't know what it means. It means recognizing that I got something from somebody else, that somebody did something for me. When you walk over to somebody and somebody helps you out and you say thank you, it's nice. I'm not saying it's not nice, but imagine if you walk in and say, I recognize that you're the one who just helped me be able to write my notes by giving me your pen. Here it is. Because it's not thank you, it's recognition. Now, why is that so hard to say? Because why is saying thank you so hard? Because it's recognizing that I can't do it on my own, that I have to come on to somebody else. When I say, I admit that you did this for me, I'm saying is that I didn't do it. Somebody else did it. The essence of Haidah means that I can't do this on my own. And what the struggle is that it's so hard for a human being to admit that he can on his own. You want to feel like you're so capable. You know, anything that... It's like... We're talking about going back to America. And there's nothing like walking into America that first experience of driving my car into the gas station and putting in the, you know, filling up the gas tank and getting back in the car. I'm like, I got it, getting on the road. You know, the roads are much bigger and that. Picking up a coffee, I don't know, for Starbucks. I'm a Dunkin' Donuts guy. You put it in the thing and it's like, ah, you've arrived. Who are you? Like, this is your car. It's usually not even it's never my car. Somebody else worked very hard to get it. It's not my money usually. But I feel like I'm like a gavra. I'm somebody. So at those moments is the best to recognize, oh, I feel like somebody, but I really got this. I admit that this car is from my father-in-law. And I admit that the money is from my brother-in-law. And I admit that it's not mine. That kind of thing, it builds, that makes a person has strength. I admit that I need a yeshiva to grow in. I admit that I cannot on my own. And through admitting that this person helps me and this situation helps me, then we can really build a real experience of admitting that there's God, that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's Ribono Shel Olam. Hey, I really can't on my own. What an experience. So, Mimela, it could be that this child, it wasn't just that Baruch Sha'amar, it was that he recognized he was a Yasan. He had nobody in the world. Nobody was there for him. And what did he say? He said that there is somebody. There's somebody who created the world. He admitted that he has somebody. Even though his parents are not there for him, but he has somebody. So, and Mimela, that was his foundation. So, what I want to leave you off with, I know maybe you haven't thought about it. I know one of Rabbeim said maybe I should have mentioned it, but in a few weeks, probably all of you are going to America. None of you look shocked. You thought about it once or twice. I'm not telling you something new. You look like a Yitaka don't know about it. Kol hakavod. Kol hakavod. I'm sorry. I'm amished. But why am I mentioning it? No, but it's very important because we think that I'm just going to be stark now, and that way I'll deal with them. It doesn't work like that. If you want to be able to do something right, you need to think about it beforehand. You need to make plans beforehand. So we say on Shabbos, Soif Maase b'machashava tchila. If you want to be accomplished, you want to do something, b'machashava tchila. You got to think about it beforehand. You can't just go into things. I remember there was a boy in yeshiva that he hadn't listened to Goyish music. He was very into Goyish music. He hadn't listened for a few months, and he felt very good about it. But he's going back to America, so he brought it up, and I said, "What's going to be hard about going to America and listening to Goyish music?" He says, "The emphasis is that for me, I feel very good. I feel very clean from it. Just I have a brother that he's very into it, and he plays it loud. And once you hear it loud, it's in the house. It's going on. It's gonna be very hard for me." So I said, "So why don't you speak to your brother?" No. And then he said, "You know what?" So we got to the point where he says, "You know what? When I come home, I'm going to speak to my brother." I said, "No. When you come home, it's going to be too late. You do not wait until you go home." So he says, "My brother's going to laugh at me. My brother, you don't understand." I'm going to say, "So you see, I want to stop listening to." Oh, you're stark. You're flipping out. Very good. Do me a favor. It's his older brother, even. So save it for save it for somebody else. So I said, "You know what? You just got to do it." Kitzer, Yitaka picked up the phone and he came back, pushing in tears. He called up his brother and he says, "Yitzi, I've been doing something. I know I'm not judging. I just want to tell you, I'm just doing something for a few months and it was really working well for me. Not because I'm getting music." And his brother tells him, "Listen, I am so proud of you. That is amazing. I appreciate you telling me. I would never want to do such a thing. I'm happy you tell me about it before, and I absolutely will not play Goyish music in the thing." It's the fears about dealing it beforehand that stops us. So it's important to think about make plans beforehand. Now, what's in the gap to what we're talking about is because at the same time that you need to worry about the things that will pull you away, you also need to be worried, what are you going to fill yourself up with? You can't expect to hold with in what I try to call in my house schmutz laretz, if you don't, you're not filling yourself up with something. So this might be something that you can work on filling yourself up with. You're going home to families. You're going home to past lives. You might want to think about, what you've gotten. Who has helped you to get to this point? You think about your parents. You recognize that I cannot on my own. And you come in with that attitude of you cannot on my own. You appreciate what they've done for you. You appreciate that you're not on your own. You start living that you can't be on your own. So then you don't walk into your house like this. Oh, everything comes to me. Where's the car? You don't understand. You know what I did? I was in Eretz Yisrael for a year. Come on, I can't handle this. Come on, you got to give me the car. You got to give me some money. Like you know, I've arrived. You have arrived. We can't do anything on our own. Hashem should be zeicher to a lot of siyata d'shmaya and being able to koiches to admit can't on my own.